Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to The Marrow of the Message, a summary of the message preached on February 10th, 2013. We're still in our Sovereignty series, but we're spending the first few weeks of 2013 looking at what we believe as a church, and this week we begin a two-part series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. This is what Jesus said. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Remember that Jesus had promised to be with His people always, even to the very end of the age. The I will be with you promises in Scripture are some of the most powerful, faith-building, grace-giving, refreshing promises of God's Word. These are promises that God Himself makes to His people who are left here on earth, waiting on earth, not as orphans, but as those, as we see the Scripture will teach us as we look to the Word of God, that we are not left as orphans, for we have the promises, I am with you, I will be with you. And Christianity then is personal because Christ saved His people personally. He bought a church for Himself by His blood, and His church is made up of the elect of God foreknown before the foundation of the world. That is, that God Himself loved before the foundation of the world because He loved them. For no reason in and of themselves, no merit in and of ourselves, but He loved us because He loved us. So we understand salvation in this way. The Father chose a people made up of individuals whom He foreknew and also predestined for salvation before the foundation of the world. Second, we understand salvation in this way, that the eternally preexistent Christ, the Son of God, was sent from the Father, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a woman, and He performed an objective or the objective historical work of atonement at the cross, which is the ground of our salvation. The warrant of our salvation is by grace through faith in the objective work of Jesus Christ on behalf of His people. And third, we see that salvation, we understand salvation in this way, is that in that the work of Christ becomes personal to you and to me as the Holy Spirit, having been sent from the Father and the Son, applies the manifold salvation to us personally. So we understand salvation in eternity past, that is, the Father chose a people. We understand salvation at a point in time when Jesus took the cross. It was the objective historical work of Christ on the cross. And then third, a present and personal redemption applied as the Holy Spirit brings to life, brings from death to life, through new birth, the people of God. And this is so important because salvation is not a salvation because you and I gleaned more information than somebody else did. We didn't yield our intellect more than someone else would have. We didn't commit ourselves to understanding the principles of Scripture and then deciding that we're going to hold fast to these without wavering and in so doing gain salvation. Salvation is salvation because of what Christ did for us in the appointed time, at the appointed time and apart from us, but for us nevertheless. Salvation is salvation because of the present work of the Holy Spirit to apply Christ's redemptive work to us, and the Holy Spirit is a present, carries on the present and ongoing work of sanctification of the redeemed. In other words, growing us up. It's not as though the new creation, the new creature in Christ, must be sanctified. That man, that new creature, is fit for heaven now. Yet, while we wait for our Savior from there to take us to be with Him forever, we are in these bodies, yet we groan. We groan, as Romans 8 says, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. That would be that we would see the family of God, the redeemed of God, in the beloved, in Christ, in the fullness of the beauty and glory of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But until then, the Holy Spirit is concerned with our maturity and with our growing. So in review, think of the personal nature of the work of the Spirit and how He applies the manifold nature of salvation. So I want us to consider this for just a minute. Consider the manifold nature of salvation. And that God calls a people to Himself through the Holy Spirit. Believers are given new birth, or we're born again through the Holy Spirit. Our justification, our adoption, our sanctification and glorification, all this, these things for the believer is a work of the Holy Spirit, which Christ applies. It's a work of the Spirit in that He applies the work of Christ personally to you through faith. Salvation, we are never advocating that salvation comes or that we gain salvation or we receive salvation. That's the word to use. We advocate that the Scripture teaches we receive salvation by grace through faith in the work of Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit that applies the work personally to us. It's important because we're often weakened in faith and we forget that this work is personal. We forget it's the work of Jesus Christ as His Spirit goes out fully in obedience, sent from the Father and the Son, sovereignly working the will of God in our lives. We forget the I am with you promises, and we ignore, when we ignore these I am with you promises, we miss out on the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit. We declare that Scripture, well, I guess I should say it this way, the Scripture declares that the Holy Spirit is God. The personal work and the nature of the Holy Spirit teaches us that the Holy Spirit is personal. And the personal provision of the Holy Spirit as He supplies power and gifts is that these gifts are given to Him, given to us personally by Him as He supplies the gifts as He sees fit. Everything when it comes to our sanctification and our growth in Christ's likeness belongs to the working of the Holy Spirit. Those God-honoring thoughts are a direct result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Otherwise, they wouldn't be God-honoring thoughts. The thoughts wherein we love our neighbor with the love of God and the compassion of Christ, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we choose, instead of sinning against God, to believe God and to trust Him and to follow after Him, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Even when we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my Savior, that is evidence and work. It is work, the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is anything other than a person, we're going to think incorrectly when it comes to our growth and sanctification. We're tempted at times to consider that the Holy Spirit is simply a divine power, and we want more power. We want more of God's power. We'd say it like this: I want more of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is the aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We should want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but here's the difference. If we're seeking that and asking the question, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit, we're asking in the wrong manner. We don't know what we're saying. But if we are thinking biblically regarding the person of the Holy Spirit, we will ask, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not somehow taking a greater measure of power, for the indwelling Holy Spirit is the fullness of Christ dwelling in us. But when we say, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? This is biblical Christianity, and this is proper biblical thinking in regards to the inner working of the Holy Spirit. How can the Holy Spirit have more of me today? This is the taking up of your cross daily and dying to yourself. We believe that the Bible teaches that as the Father is God and the Son is God, so is the Holy Spirit God, the third person of the Trinity. He has a mind, he has emotions, he has a will. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18 reveals the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now the question is, do we know he's God? He is a person, but is he God the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. When Jesus said, I will give you another counselor, he didn't mean something like a different kind of counselor. He said another counselor and another one just like the first one. I will send the Holy Spirit who counsels, who comforts exactly the same as me. So another counselor means another one just like the first one. So Jesus didn't say, I'll give you something to compensate for my absence. I'll treat you like a battery which gets a partial charge and sometimes the charge goes down. He didn't say that. He said, I will send another counselor to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is a person and works personally. In other words, he has a distinct personality. His works, then, are personal actions, as we just read in John 14, 16, counselor, comforter. In John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11 are important for our understanding as well when it comes to the personal actions of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned already. He works on unbelievers the work of conviction, and that's personal. No one ever, I should say it positively, the Spirit works convicting men of sins. And he's on a mission, having been sent from the Father, a personal work sent from the Father and the Son. John 15, 26 teaches us this. When the Counselor comes, Jesus said, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He is on mission, having been sent from the Father and the Son. He is co-equal in power and rank with the Father and the Son. He's not a lesser God. He is God the Son. And this is important, co-equal in power and rank. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, go into all the nations, baptizing them into the name, the one name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus would have meant that the Holy Spirit was a lesser God or simply a power, he would have just said, go and baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son. But he added, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 is critical when we see this doctrine of the Holy Spirit and his co-equality and power and rank with the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 13, 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There's no mistaking the co-equality of the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son. Why is this important? Because we have to know that we just simply don't call upon a power, a great power to help us. There are many, many well-meaning secular type of ministries that encourage people to call on a higher power. We're not calling on a higher power. We're calling on God, the Holy Spirit, to fill us, that he might have more of me. This is what Paul said when he said, I am a prisoner of righteousness, a slave to righteousness, dying every day, taking up my cross. He is saying, I'm not asking for more power. I'm asking that I am putting myself in a position that the Holy Spirit can have more of me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this, speaking of the Holy Spirit and his equality with God, he writes to the elect who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. We would all say, amen. Elect of the Father, amen. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, for obedience. But we can never forget this. It's through the Holy Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, who works salvation in us at the proper time. And we can see that the Holy Spirit in his personhood is visible, and he had a visible and present presence, a visible form and presence in Christ's baptism. He came in the form of a dove at Pentecost. They saw him come on them in tongues of fire. He is sovereign. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, he distributes the gifts as he sees fit. Never apart from the perfect will of God, for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in perfect unity. But he does it as he sees fit. The Holy Spirit is God. And God said, I will be with you. And he is with us. The divine presence of God, the personal presence of God with us through the Holy Spirit living in us. Oh, this is something we must get a hold of, because we so often feel alone. We feel as though God is not with us, that we wait for a Savior to come from heaven, and until then we're just simply going to hold on until he comes. But the Scripture tells us, I am with you. And he certainly is in the person of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Even if we had to just look at his name, Holy Spirit, that designation is given only to God. The innermost essence of God is holiness. As the Father is holy, the Son is holy. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit, is holy. He has works attributed to him. In Job 33, verse 4, creation is attributed to the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the impartation of Scripture is the work of the Holy Spirit. In John 3, 6, he's the agent of the new birth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he's the agent of the resurrection. We see all through Scripture, the New Testament, he's the agent of our sanctification. The name of God is attributed to him. We see in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, when Ananias and Sapphira had lied, Peter says, how dare you lie to God? You have lied to the Holy Spirit. He says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he says, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God in us, God with us and in us. Individually, we honor him. And we recognize him, we rely on him. As a church, we'll find our vitality just as each one of us are filled with the Holy Spirit, just as each one of us prays, oh, that you may have more of me. May I put myself in a position where the Holy Spirit may have more of me. And friends, as a church, we will be more vital, vitally strong and faithful. We'll hear the voice of God. We'll know his will for us. We'll move when he says to move. We'll grow when he says to grow. We'll encourage when he says to encourage. We'll love when we're to love. There will be less looking at ourselves and our own problems and more care and compassion showing to one another. Next week, we'll look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ and the life of a believer in particular, and the love of the Holy Spirit and the redemption of the saints. May the Lord bless you and keep you.